Can you tell me something about the work you do, first of all?
Well, I have been working in plastics for quite a few years, but I'm seriously considering moving out of that area because of the danger of cancer. I'm really quite concerned with health hazards, and I find that most of the materials I've been working with are severe health hazards. So I've been doing sculpture, and I was working in metals and doing foundry work, and then I moved into plastics when I got into my own studio, because it was a material that I could handle without a lot of equipment, a lot of heavy equipment. But as I say, I'm looking now towards moving out sideways and doing other things, like photography and ceramics.
What do you do with plastics when you do something with plastics? I don't know anything about that.
Oh, the whole world.
I've seen resin things. Is that plastic?
Yeah. I was working with polyvinyl chloride pipes, sewer pipes, water pipes, and so forth, and fabricating them into, cutting them and fabricating them into new shapes, and combining that with colored acrylic sheet material. So I worked on that for about 4 or 5 years and got that piece finished. I did about 22 pipe environments. And then I just spent the last 2 years on a feminist piece. I was working with some women and doing some modeling and some photography and tape recording. And I put that together for the Artist Equity Triennial, which is down at the Civic Center. So I really have the decks cleared now. I don't know what direction I'm going.
So you're looking for a new direction?
Well, I have this year off, and I'm at this point planning to not do any sculpture. And I don't know whether I will, whether I find that I just can't really abide all that time without making sculpture.
And take pictures and draw and stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to take my paints and I'm going to take some photographic, my camera and so forth, and see what kind of facilities I can get a hold of.
Where are you going?
Oxford, England.
So you spend the whole time there?
I'm going to do a lot of traveling. I'm just going to be doing my own work. Very nice.
Are you going by yourself?
No, I'm going with my husband. He got a sabbatical and I got to leave. And we're both going to be doing, he's not going to be teaching either. He's going to be doing some reading and writing and so forth. So we really will not have any requirements that we have to meet. So we're hoping to be able to go to Greece in the wintertime and Spain and Portugal.
Oh, it sounds so wonderful.
Yeah, it sounds like a dream. It's really very... very nice to think about.
So you're in Bucks County now, more or less, because that's where you landed?
Yeah, sort of.
It wasn't sort of like something you heard about and you thought, that's the place I have to go?
No. As I told you, I'm in Bucks County because when we went to buy a house, it was where we found the house. It was before. I would love to live further up in the county. I think that, there is a mystique about Bucks County, mm-hmm. and the arts. Mm-hmm. And to some extent, there's a validity to it because there are an awful lot of artists of all types in and around the various areas. One has to find them, but it is one of the most beautiful areas in the whole country.
Do you feel like the artists who are here have a lot to do with each other?
No.
In any particular ways? I mean, competing or working together or interacting or anything?
Not in my experience. I know that I have some friends who are artists, and I am in touch with them because they're my friends, not because they're Bucks County artists. And there are lots of artists in the county whom I know and whom I see at various times, but it really has nothing to do with the location or the county.
Yeah. Do you think it would be nice to make that happen more?
It might be, but artists are not really, easily organized at all.
Yeah.
And I know I'm in artist equity, and it's very, very difficult to organize artists, even in their own interests. Musicians have a long-standing tradition of working together with the Musicians Union and ASCAP and so forth, and actors have Actors Equity that has functioned as a professional organization and a union, and it's really tightly organized and very supportive and essential to their craft. But visual artists really are when you're off in your studio, you're really by yourself. Mm. And I have found that it just is not conducive to working together. And it's a shame because there are visual artists are being screwed right and left, tax-wise, by gallery people, by collectors, by each other and so forth. And if the visual artists could organize like the musicians or like the actors, it would be tremendously advantageous. But I don't really see it. I know, for instance, in Artist Equity, the Equity has taken the position that this whole question of fees for shows is a terrific problem, because it used to be that a young artist got out of school or apprenticeship or wherever the artist learned to make their art, and then began to enter shows, and there were many, many open shows, and you built your reputation, you built your career by showing and submitting your work to various professional juries and showing it here and there and the other place and winning prizes and winning recognition, and then finally, building a reputation of your own upon which you and your work stood. Well, now, there are practically no open shows, for one thing, and most shows require an entry fee, and the entry fee is $5 to $10 per piece, whether it's accepted or not.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. You haven't been that route yet, but you'll mm-hmm. find out.
Mm-hmm.
And one must show one's work.
Yeah.
And so Equity says we should boycott, artists should boycott entry fees, do not, pay an entry fee. Well, Silvermine in Connecticut is a very good show. If you want to enter the Silvermine show, you have to pay an entry fee. If you want to enter the Allentown Museum show, you've got to become a member, which is a hidden way of charging an
mm-hmm.
entry fee. So it may be $10 or $12 for you to submit your work for a show, which is jury, for which you may not be accepted. And you don't get it back if you're rejected. And it then costs the student or the amateur or the professional. If you went around and entered all these shows, it would cost you hundreds of dollars a year. Now, the shows cannot exist without the artist's work.
And you have to have everybody do it.
No, I mean, the point is that these things cannot exist without the artist's participation. And then, in addition to that, the artist is not only an essential part of this business of shows, but the artist has to pay for the privilege. It's outrageous.
Yeah.
Part of it has to do with the museums and the art centers and the galleries say that their costs are so high. And that's why they're doing it. But there are other ways of these people getting money, and they shouldn't be. The artist should not be the one to pay.
It seems that the Arts Alliance, and the New Arts Alliance in Bucks County, was interested in working on some of those things and what people have said about
it.
But again, I guess it's a problem of getting, it's like any other strike, if everybody doesn't cooperate, then
that's
it just
right.
won't work.
That's right. If all the artists would refuse to pay the entry fees, then it might be a viable, fight against this thing. But if there's a show that you particularly feel is important for your career to enter, and you know the judge and you know that there's a good chance you'd get in, I think that most visual artists would say, well, maybe this time, or maybe nobody will know, or something
mm-hmm.
like that, and then go ahead and enter.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole system continues. So I don't really see an answer to your question. I don't see the visual artists really cooperating in that sense. It's just so much of an individual endeavor that psychologically we haven't really learned to think cooperatively.
Even in one's own.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Do you spend a lot of time, or any time, visiting the cities, New York, Philadelphia?
Oh, sure. I think that's absolutely essential.
Seeing other people's work?
Yeah. New York, Philadelphia, wherever.
Do you think if you could, you'd live in one, like in
I'm very conflicted about that. I'd love to live in the center of, not necessarily Manhattan, because I've never lived in Manhattan, but I would like to live in downtown Philadelphia or in the middle of a city, because I think that I'm a city person, and I think that there's an excitement and an intellectual and cultural sophistication in the city that is not found anywhere else. And it's very nice to live out in the country and paint the trees or, work out in the fresh air. It's really lovely. But I find that it's the most exciting, and I like modern and avant-garde type concepts and things. And I would like my work to be much more in that direction. But I find that those movements are generally centered in cities where people are in close contact with each other and feeding each other, stimulating ideas and excitement. And you don't have that in the country.
Right.
Or in the county, in Bucks County.
That sounds like goes into what you said before about it all being so scattered.
Yeah. I mean, if everyone's house is surrounded by trees, it's an effort to get out and intermix.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're in the city and you're in an area and close to an area where a lot of artists and a lot of ideas are exchanged, it's no effort to get down and have a coffee or a beer or go, you know, sit outside, and all of a sudden there are seven people and you begin to talk and everyone is talking about what they've just completed or an idea that they had yesterday and that they're going to do tomorrow. And it's this kind of interchange, I think, that's essential to good art.
Does teaching make that happen at all?
Some. When you get exciting students or even in the process of it. It's the thing, I think, that's the thing that makes teaching, aside from the fact that artists today are supporting themselves by teaching, but it's the conceptualization of one's ideas and the interchange back and forth between other people who have similar interests that is exciting about teaching. And, you know, to the extent that you've got good students, exciting students, or working with exciting people, you can get that.
You know, something else I'm curious about is how much being a woman artist has to do with being in Bucks County or not being in Bucks County or any of those things. You were speaking of doing a feminist work, and that's something I guess I'm particularly interested in.
Well, being a married female means that essentially, and not being a young kid, you live where your husband, you know, where it's convenient for your husband's job, and that's why. Well, no, the reason we're out here is the economic one, but I think if it were just myself, I would not be here. I would probably have moved a long time ago. I live in Levittown, and I don't like living there. But it's just not convenient. Women are not free to really pick up and go. The family goes generally where it's more agreeable for the man's work.
You have kids who are in school and stuff?
No, they're all out of school. So there's no problem about moving.
Yeah, except for the jobs.
Yeah, right. And it has never really become an issue that we could not move. It's just that I think our system for women is that women live where it's convenient for the man, if they're living with a man, for his work, his job.
Yeah.
And if I felt that it was really vitally important that we move, I'm sure that that we would.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it hasn't been that much of a problem for me. I don't like living there, but it hasn't been that much of a Sometimes I'd like to live up in the county in one of those beautiful old farmhouses surrounded by trees and so forth. But then when I go into the city, I really miss that. So, you need one of each.
Were you involved in doing all this before you got married?
No, I had been drawing and sort of painting all my life. And then I went back to school and my kids went into school. I went to Tyler. I'd never done any sculpture, and then I had to take a sculpture course and found that that's what I really.
That's really like.
I'm a three-dimensional person, and I've never really known.
A three-dimensional person. That's a nice thing. I used to think I was a black and white person. Yeah, it sounds really exciting to be working in three dimensions.
It's interesting because most people, when they've never done it, don't. It's the way to find out whether three-dimensional work is your area, and a lot of people. I mean, I painted for years, and when I look at my paintings, I realize that there's a lot of modeling involved.
Mm-hmm.
They're very dimensional, and it wasn't a conscious thing, an intentional thing. But I think it just reflected my interest in my vision, the way I see.
Mm-hmm. I suddenly come to a place where you found that. Hmm. That's lucky. What if you'd never taken a sculpture course? I guess eventually you would have.
I don't know. I guess it's as the result of that, I feel that a broad, basic kind of training is really essential for any field, and art included, that that one should taste everything. Because unless you do, you really don't know if it has a meaning, personal meaning for you.
Yeah. Well, they try to do that, don't they, in a lot of art schools?
Yeah. Yeah, there's the foundation year or the core program or whatever, and I think the country is generally moving back towards a tighter kind of system of fundamentals in education.
Yeah, right.
And keep reading about counteraction to the '60s.
Yeah, you know, like this whole thing at Harvard that you're reading about.
Mm-hmm.
Really, what'll happen when they're all recorded and put away for posterity?
Probably nothing. I think there was one of these studies done some years ago, about 5-6 years ago, as part of the county, and I think there was a paper published, some kind of a compilation of the material I read and put away in my files. I don't know. I think it's probably of historic interest, but I'm wondering what kind of selectivity you're using to pick the people you're interviewing.
Well, I was wondering about that too, and as far as I could see, I think it was based on like members of the Art Alliance and people that people knew. It seemed to me that it was an effort to try and find quote fine artists. They're using actors and musicians and so-called fine artists. Not a lot of people who are called craftspeople. Personally, I find that a problem. I don't like that distinction. And there are a few people that they have on the list.
For instance, the kid I share my studio with is a jazz drummer, and he's going to be really good. He's probably going to become one of the really fine jazz musicians of this era, because he's very dedicated and he's very committed. Are you doing musicians too?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, Nancy said, if you're someone you find that you think would be a good addition, just pick them up along the way. Which is fine too. Seems fine to me. I really was sorry about the distinction with people who are ceramicists and weavers and that sort of thing, because I really don't think that distinction holds at all.
Yeah. Well, it's a very traditional distinction, which the tendency is moving in the direction of wiping out that distinction, but I don't know whether that'll be done.
I find it especially interesting because photography's always had such a struggle to be considered a fine art. That,
well, you know, there's this whole hierarchy. It's been so since the Renaissance. That architecture is the only art, and then there are painters, and then there are sculptors, and then everything from there is downhill.
Right. And drawing is a preparation for everything else. Right.
Well, drawing is a fundamental. Anyway, I don't really think those distinctions hold anymore, except that they're there and people still do adhere to them, but they're a kind of a reactionary distinction.
I don't know. Do you know if there was a specific choice, a reason for the choices?
I think the people who responded to the list sent out.
Where did the lists come from?
And they probably came from that previous study that the county did.
Yeah.
So if you're dealing with people who responded, then probably you're not going to get the really hotshot artists, the top people who live in the county, and there are a lot of them, you know, the New York artists who are highly successful, because they would just not even bother to respond. So what you're going to get are people of middle level competence or aspirations, and then a lot of people who have great dreams but for whom they will never be realized, and
And an interview like this is a tremendous ego boost, you know, to think that one will become immortalized in the county archives. That you all know what type of shit that is.
Right. Well, what it can be is be used for somebody's dissertation or something.
Yeah,
something,
well, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah. That has nothing to do with the with anything that's really important, because that's a little dandy in the head of a pin anyway.
Giving people an opportunity for some education and experience.
Well, for the people who are involved, I think that's valid and that's fascinating, and I think you probably run into some very interesting experiences, good and bad, but it's all experience that should be very useful to you in terms of what the work that you're doing and what you'll be hearing and then putting it all together. And there's that, I would agree, that's probably very valid. But beyond that,
I think they're thinking of doing a show of some of the photographs, aren't they? Which would be
that would be neat. Yeah. And if you could really get some of the really good, fine artists in the county to participate, that would be, I think, make it more valid and be much more interesting. I don't know how you'd have to somehow get to them. You know, they're not gonna come to you or respond. You're gonna have to get somebody else to reach them and ask them if they would participate. And that would be, I think, really interesting.
Who would make a list of those people?
Or well, some of the people in the county know, I'm sure that there are people working with you or people at the in Doylestown who know some of the people who live in the county. I don't even know them. But I'm talking about somebody of Michener's level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're dealing with writers, and I know there are many actors who live in, Broadway actors who
That's
live
true.
In Bucks County, and musicians and so forth. And, fine artists and so forth. It's just a matter of reaching them. I don't know, has Harry, like, for instance, a sculptor like Harry Bertoia lives in Bucks County. Now, I know I tried to put a sculpture show together at the college one time and invited him, and I never got a response. Now, possibly he didn't get the mail, I don't know, because I've heard that he's quite reachable. But, you know, he's an internationally known artist. And people like him, like Michener, so that would be a really nice mix.
Yeah, that would be really fun. But I don't know. I could talk to Nancy.
Yeah. I don't care if you pull them out.
I think I did. Let me pull them out.
There's people really, really careful. They're not necessarily.
Oh, I think I'd like to live in a place like that, but I don't think that that has anything to do with my work.
That's the question.
I think that where you live has a direct relationship to your work, and sometimes it's directly discernible, and sometimes it's underneath, but there is a direct connection. It may be a question of how you feel when you're working. And I find that the countryside in Bucks County and those beautiful farmhouses are really, and when I've been in them, they're just beautiful places. And of course, it's really good for one's middle class aspirations or whatever to live in beautiful places like that. But that, I don't think, has anything to do with what I feel about art. I mean, my ideas and my approach to work, I think, would be much more exciting if I could be in the center of some really exciting artwork, that, like living in a loft where a lot of artists were working in the surrounding area, so that it could be a lot of interchange.
So you don't feel like the county is directly particularly inspiring to you?
No, except that it's visually beautiful.
In a calling sort of way.
But you know, not related to my work, no.
I think we've really answered most of the other questions here about your feelings about the county and so forth. Can you take a look at it?
I think there's... I've talked to people who live in the Midwest and in other parts of the country where the distances are very great between people. And this may apply to people in the upper county, let's say, where they're a little further apart, more spread out. But, and I've read comments by artists, particularly women artists, who say that they're totally isolated. And the only time they get to see other artists is like at sidewalk shows or things like that. And they're put down by us Eastern intellectual artists who have New York and Washington and Philadelphia and so forth and Boston around, where the best art is just, you know, around the corner. And there are places where one can show one's work where it's, you know, that are not sidewalk places. And I think that's one of the things that I find exciting about the East, and that makes country living less exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, I don't know, maybe you'll find people that find that kind of atmosphere much more conducive to their work. And so therefore the county, living in the county or in certain areas of the county would be more exciting for them, but that's not important for me.
I guess it's nice just to be near those cities, you know, could be further out.
I have never been to the city, to museums or galleries where I have not found some new ideas and some exciting forms and concepts, and to come home just exhilarated. Whether it resulted in direct, you know, in work
mm-hmm.
at that point or not, wasn't really important. It all goes into the computer and mixes up and
mm-hmm.
comes out in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think your letters do people come home about the struggle for the women to be accepted as artists?
I don't know really that has anything to do with Bucks County, though. I think that's a struggle, it's a worldwide struggle, and I'm a very strong feminist. I have very strong feelings about it, and it's very difficult for women in particular. More women graduate from art school than men, but of course more men become artists. Because women become the wives of artists, or the women who live with artists and who, you know, do the traditional cooking and taking care of the person, the artist. And I think it's very difficult to be a creative person under any circumstances, and it's particularly difficult for women to find some time and some space to be creative. If Bucks County could do that for women, that would be just great. But I don't see it. I don't see it happening, you know, related to the county.
Well, I don't think it really has to be related to the county. You know what you're speaking about it, because you're the one who's here that we're talking to. You know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, a lot of this taping has to do with what you're feeling,
mm-hmm.
you know, or the other artists are feeling, whether or not it has to do with Bucks County.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you think the Arts Alliance or anything could be working on specifically women's things? I don't know if there are enough women artists involved with that, even. Or the Artists' Equity, or any of those? Do any of those groups have any kind of push towards that?
There are many women's art organizations.
Like WCA. The women's
yeah, cost. But there are women's cooperative galleries in cities,
right.
And but I don't really see that out here. I have found, for instance, that it's been I had wanted to start a group of women artists who just got together and talked about in rap sessions about being an artist and being a woman artist, and a supportive kind of system that was also critical.
Mm-hmm.
Where after you build up a certain amount of trust, where people, where women could bring in their artwork and like have crits,
mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, and this is true for all artists, that when you work in the isolation of your studio, you really get to the point where you need some outside input
mm-hmm.
to be able to look at it and to criticize
mm-hmm.
And most studio artists who don't have an opportunity to do that once you're out of a school situation or working with other artists, if you have the opportunity to take an apprenticeship. And And that's the thing that's really so necessary, that self-criticism or some external criticism. And but I talked to a number of artists about it and never got around to doing it, but this is a great place to do it, the studio. And I talked to some of the women at Buffs and some of the other women artists that I knew. Maybe when I get back we'll do it, but that would be really great, because it's a support system that says, you know, leave the laundry or leave the dishes or leave the kids, and just if you want to paint, paint. But that thing isn't painting, you know, that's meaningless. You really have to do this, that, or the other, and really work on some kind of self-critical approach.
Did it seem like there was an interest in that when you talked
about it? Oh, I'm sure there would be, yeah. It's just a question of getting it organized and getting it going.
Because I can certainly see the women that I've known in my classes who are older women, you know, like me, would have found that really helpful, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even think it's a question of age. I think it's just anybody in a situation where you're working and you have no input.
This is partially has to do with the books.
Yeah.
Partially has to do with books. My interest is what each of us can get from this. Whatever word you have.
Yeah, do you think that would be an interesting thing to do?
I think it would be a neat thing to do, yeah.
Anybody who wants to help me get out of the house and stop doing dishes and laundry can push me toward other things.
I guess I said older women, because I'm most conscious of women like Sharon and me, you know, who really, I think everybody seems to have a great resistance to things.
Oh, sure.
You know, it's really, but it is especially hard for older women who do have those other.
This is a difficult struggle for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So you've been successful.
Well, but it's a struggle. You know, the normal activities of living are very seductive and destructive of the creative process.
Is it repetitive and have security?
Well, to be creative is very difficult. And when one can be distracted by, for women, the traditional women's activities, or family activities, or a job, or one's buddies, or whatever, that's very difficult to turn down and then to close the door and say, I'm going to go into my studio and I'm going to work. And even if you just sit there and stare at the walls, you know, that's what you have to do. Because it's only from that kind of isolation that you can really draw on your, you know, your creativity. I don't mean all the time, you can't do it in the midst of a lot of other things. So all of those other distractions are, as I say, they're seductive. They pull one away. And you have to fight it. And it's very hard for women to fight it, because in our society, we're all by ourselves. We're in this nuclear family, which is really deadly for the, as far as women getting an opportunity to pull away and find their own time and their own space, which is why I find this place so marvelous. Having a studio of my own, a space of my own, that is all mine. I can do whatever I want here. And I can, you know, it's mine anytime I want it.
How long have you had it?
About 2.5 years.
So when you were, your kids were younger and so forth, you didn't have a place away?
No.
Where did you work then?
Well, I didn't go to Tyler until my youngest went into first grade.
Right, but yeah. Still, that's
and then
not.
That was part-time, and I went there for about 6 years. And then I worked in my garage on plastics, which was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what a lot of people do when they don't have a, you know, good space to work in. And I really worry about all the things that I worked on there with very poor ventilation under very poor conditions. And then it was only after I got a teaching job that I was really able to afford a studio of my own. And which I guess is what, you know, it's the normal pattern.
Right. Yeah, I was
a logical pattern anyway.
People often work in their bedrooms. And
yeah, no matter what you're doing, really, painting, almost anything except pencils, you're dealing with solvents and fumes and hazardous materials, and
well, working up in your bedroom, even if a window is open, is really a bad thing. It's very dangerous. And these things don't, they accumulate. I mean, they don't, you know, you can't go outside the next day and clear your head. I think that in time they're going to find that a lot of this just accumulates damage in one's body, liver, and so forth. And, I don't know, that might be something that someone could consider. For instance, I used to be very active on the Middletown Township Art and Culture Commission. And I have put together programs. I think that one was a Scottish program. We had thousands of people out. And it was a whole day affair of pipes and dancers and Scottish foods and so forth. Anyway, when Oxford Valley Mall was being proposed, the planners proposed that there would be, and I still have the minutes of these meetings, that there would be a 17-acre lake and that there would be a community center and a museum and all kinds of facilities for the people in the township. Middletown has a collection of art that it owns, and so we used to take this and take it around to various schools and so forth, and it would be housed there. The county has a collection of art, which I know is housed in the, or if it isn't a collection, they get things and show it in Doylestown Courthouse. But this would have been a permanent museum. Well, that never came to pass. None of it ever came to pass, and it was on paper so that this huge, sprawling commercial venture could go through. In the meantime, the people got fucked over, and the thing is just sitting on paper, and they haven't really even landscaped it properly, let alone a 17-acre lake and a community center and a museum. But, for instance, if there could be some facilities like that, like studio space, and we've talked about that. We talked about it for the township, and I know there's been talk about it at the county. Open studio space where artists could come in and sign in for something, like sign up for, say, to work in the sculpture studio, which had good ventilation for maybe every Tuesday afternoon and every Friday morning,
mm-hmm.
or to be able to have a painting studio at one's to work in, so that one could do maybe a 25-foot painting where there's no place else to put it and a place to store it while you're working on
right.
it and so forth. That's something that the county could do, and it could be something that would maybe draw people together. But that all costs money, and we're in a time when governments are pulling in money, not giving it out.
Yeah.
However, there are many people in the county who have a lot of money and have a lot of property, and it might be something that somebody would want to donate to the county or maybe fund. I don't know. Yeah, there might be state or federal monies that would support something like this, and it has something to do with the Art Alliance, the Arts Alliance,
mm-hmm.
because they did talk. You know, there is a studio space there, but it's in Peddler's Village, and
mm-hmm.
I gather they're having a hard time getting it going. I would have to come from the lower county and get myself up there,
mm-hmm.
and then sit there and go up to the middle county, or somebody would have to come down from Quakertown. It's a problem because people don't really want to move very far from where they are to be able to do this. But studio space they might do, and they might move for it, might travel for it.
But
that might be something that somebody could do. And then the other thing is that this kind of rap session, I feel that the artists who are working alone in their own studios, and I did this for 4 years, and I found that it's absolutely deadly, this isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Essential, but deadly. So what you need is you've got to have some other input into that situation. And if there could be a place like this where there was where artists were working, and somebody else who'd been working for a couple weeks on a painting, and didn't want to have any input at that point, and all of a sudden they were really ready to start mixing it up with some other people, you could just fall in there, you know,
mm-hmm.
for coffee,
mm-hmm.
and some talk.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be that Tuesday nights was an open session, there was a rap session, and that maybe out of that some people would have enough trust among themselves, among the group of people, to be willing to show the work and to see. I think that it's very, very, it can be very painful and very dangerous to have your work criticized by the wrong people, because a lot of people are very destructive in their criticism, and that's very bad. Because they get involved, you know, they have to make themselves look good in order to cut you down.
They start to compete.
Sure, sort of. Yeah. But good criticism is, you can't, it's invaluable.
How do you know when you're finding good criticism?
Well, you do it, you know, by experience. You know, you listen and then you find that it's useful for you.
I see.
I have a friend, a woman friend in Levittown, and every once in a while she'll say, come on over, I need you. And she's a printmaker, and I can look at her work and I can tell her what I feel about it. And it's only what I feel about it, what I see. And what happens, and she does the same thing with me. And what happens is that I can get right through all of the shit and say, well, look, that area there is just this, not, and we talk about it, and it clarifies her thinking, and then she can go ahead and work some more. But there's no competition between the two of us.
Right.
But you've got to build trust in order to do that. And so if there was a place where artists could get together, people who could trust each other could find each other and build relationships where, if they didn't trust each other initially, they could after a while. But you're not going to do this unless you see people. And with everybody living in their own house, which is most of Bucks County,
yeah,
you know, I mean, there are some apartments, but most of us live in our own spaces, and we're very much away from each other. And the only time we see each other, artists that is when we go someplace where we know there will be other artists around. And so far, these are all shows or classes or meetings, which are not the kinds of things that I'm talking about. They're not the kinds of situations where you can get this kind of interchange.
That could be worked in with that rap session you were saying, couldn't it? This exact project is going to be doing that for those photography students who are doing the photographing.
Yeah, now that'll be great. That's really a great thing to have.
Already happening.
Yeah. You'll have the input of a lot of different ideas, and coming from all kinds of different backgrounds, different approaches, and so forth. And if it's all done in a non-competitive way, it'll be invaluable.
Oh, thank you.
The questions are from Bucks County, but some of the ideas that a lot of us came up with is to know what artists are about, what they're thinking, how they work, what she talked about. And similarly, she certainly was, if it doesn't reach any further than our group, will be inspirational for us. When we get together and talk about what will become of this,
Well, throw that idea around, because I know that I laid it on Bruce when I came to Bucks. Out on the need for this kind of artistic and personal interchange, and the workshop idea. To work as I have been doing at Tyler. And I think that I'm not sure that the forms, I never thought about whether they're mine. Mm-hmm. They're the one, they came from me, you know, they were never laid on me, they came from within myself. But they were certainly reflective of the kind of work and the kind of teaching that I was exposed to there. So what I'm going to do is look inside myself to see whether this or some possible, different approach to the same kind of work, whether this kind of abstract or hard imagery is really my own, or you know, whether I want to change it, or just think about what I want to do. And I think it's easier for women to do that kind of thing together. Until they get to the point where they feel very secure in themselves as an artist and as a person, which doesn't mean, you know, that you're completely, you've got it all set up. But at least enough so that if somebody does give you a really hard criticism, it doesn't destroy you. And there's a difference between the destructive criticism of somebody who needs to put someone else down in order for them to be up, and a really valid, tough, hard criticism, you know.
Sure.
But if you do not have within yourself that security of knowing that you're an artist and you're a good one and you've got something important to say, that hard criticism, even if it isn't destructive, can be devastating. And I don't think that the creative process is pushed forward by devastation. I think that I don't believe that that the school of hard knocks is, you know, where creativity comes from. I think that you've got to really feel good about yourself and about your work, and then it just flows from there. I know that there's, you know, there are people who disagree with that, but I just I can't see for myself, I can't see that.
This has been an interview with Charlotte Schatz. I'm Lydia Quill, and I've had the help also of Sharon Donner.
Thanks very much, Charlotte.